Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. The Reverend James Baumgartner is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace be unto you and peace through God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've heard this before, maybe you've even thought it. The God of the Old Testament, man, he is just angry and wrathful and all law all the time. He's mean. But the God of the New Testament and Jesus, way more loving, way more friendly, way more gospel-y feeling. That's a sentiment shared by more than a small number of Christians, but it's also a sentiment that was condemned as heresy in the middle of the second century. Officially, it's called Marcionism, named after a man named Marcion. He placed a chasm between the Old and the New Testaments that were so wide he simply couldn't see how they would harmonize somewhere in the middle. He rejected both law and prophets in favor of what God had to say in the New Testament because it was softer, literally abolishing the old in place of the new. And for so doing, when Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John, first met Marcion face to face, Marcion asked, "Do you know who I am?" And Polycarp said, "Of course I do. You are the firstborn of Satan." Now, 100 years before Marcion, Jesus sort of already laid out the groundwork for a united and an eternal scripture. Old and New Testaments brought together in beauty, for Christ is the telos, the end, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He's the goal, he is the accomplishment and the fulfillment. It's always been pointing to Christ. "Do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets," Jesus says. "I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." The law of God is good. It has an ongoing place in your life. David sings about God's law in the Psalms. "Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it," he says. Moses sings about God's justice in Deuteronomy. He says, "For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice." The eternal God, who does not change like shifting shadows, must not and cannot change his divine decrees of perfect justice through his law. It is holy, it is righteous, it is good, as Paul writes in Romans 7. But the world will call you a hypocrite. After all, how can you, as a Christian, try to enforce rules of marriage and the sanctity of life if you yourselves are breaking those rules by not eating or by eating bacon and wearing mixed fabrics, as all of us are doing here today, like the Torah says not to do? And the Marcionites of today will read how Jesus doesn't condemn the woman caught in adultery, and yet there's no shortage of crimes worthy of capital punishment in the Old Testament. So someone, somewhere, sure seems to be erasing dots and tittles and yods and serifs and iotas of the law, or even sometimes adding in new marks in between the spaces. Dr. Christopher Mitchell, an editor of our Concordia commentary series, he calls this a dynamic dialectic. And by that, he means this. Basically, well, just everybody slow down. Logic and the overarching unity of God's word are going to bridge the chasm and bring everything back together in harmony. And so in the intro of the Ten Commandments in our small catechism, we read that it's helpful to see God's Old Testament laws in three different categories: ceremonial laws, civil laws or political laws, and the moral law of God. Ceremonial laws of the Old Testament dealt with everything having to do with worshiping the Lord, what sacrifices you had to make how often you made them and where and how. It required circumcision. It demanded the tie that dealt with priests and the priestly garments. It was the Ark of the Covenant, the construction of the tabernacle and the temple. And it showed God's people right from the very beginning just how holy and awesome this God truly is. He is unreachable. He is eternally beyond us, perfectly righteous, beyond our scope and beyond our thoughts and our ways. And yet they all find their telos, their goal, in Jesus. Because Jesus is our sacrifice. Jesus is our priest. Jesus is he who tabernacled amongst us. He is our temple. He is the cross, or his cross is his altar. He is the mercy seat upon which the blood is spilled and atonement is made. In fact, the entire book of Hebrews pretty much just wraps up those ceremonial laws nicely and puts a bow on it in Jesus Christ. Done. Accomplished. Tetelestai. Finished in Christ. Thanks be to God. Jesus is the fulfillment of every rule and regulation of ceremony. Civil laws now, political laws, dealt with how Israel lived as a nation in the Old Testament. As a people, as a family, as a state, as a government, set aside from other nations and how they settled disputes and handled property issues and what they wore, what they ate, how they punished criminals, law and order, trade regulations, inheritance, taxes, the functioning of a Jewish family and society in the Old Testament. Because in 70 AD, when that nation and that government and that people was destroyed by Roman soldiers, those laws disappeared right alongside them. They have nothing to do with modern Israel. They've been abrogated to history, prophesied by Christ, and fulfilled as what he said. But dear friends, in Jeremiah 31:33, when God says, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts," he's not referencing ceremonies. He's not referencing civil laws. He's referencing this eternal law, like a thread woven through his scriptures that's much bigger, that transcends times and peoples. Call it the moral law of God or whatever you wish to call it. This is the law given to each of us because we were first made in the very image of God himself. It's a law that searches for God's character and holiness. It's already written on our hearts before they were written in stone on Mount Sinai. It recognizes our need of a Savior, a Messiah, a Christ. It curbs our behavior, it shows a mirror to our sinfulness, it guides us as a light to our path every single day. And Jesus takes this law and summarizes it by saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And not an iota, not a dot can pass away from such a law because it is bound forever inside the very character of our God. It's a law that still, even today, condemns sinners like us to death. And so Paul asks in Romans 3, if we should just overthrow that law because we now live by faith. By no means, he says. On the contrary, no, we uphold the law. But, he writes in Galatians 3, that law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. You see, the law is still there. It's doing its good work, its strange and alien work, which corrects and rebukes and trains for righteousness, but it has always and ultimately only been leading repentant hearts to the sweet comfort of the gospel. In Psalm 85, we hear, "Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground and righteousness looks down from the sky." Friends, where do justice and mercy meet? Where do law and gospel kiss each other? Where are faithfulness and righteousness suspended together between heaven and earth? It's on the cross, dear friends, where they are perfectly balanced in the body of our Lord, perfectly intentioned between the nails between his hands, perfectly fulfilled by God's own Son for us. Dear friends, don't ever fall into this trap of thinking that we see two different versions and competing versions of God in Scripture. No, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit speaking in beauty and powerful ways through a united Scripture. For those who have the softened heart by the Spirit to search for them. See, it tells the same story of God's redemption and his love pouring out upon unworthy sinners as the only Son of God takes the burden and the guilt of our sin upon his shoulders. Jesus is the fulfillment God has ever asked of everything God has ever asked you to do. He is love, fulfilling all righteousness and upholding everything holy. He is sacrifice. He is your priest. He is your temple. He is your Savior. He is your joy of salvation and your crown of righteousness today. He is all in all, with the entirety of God's saving word pointing only and eternally at him. He is grace, kissing the law, love, holding tight to faithfulness, and before the foundation of the world, even at that. And this Savior has accomplished his good and his atoning work for you. Christ's love compels us to live within this truth, to follow in his steps, and to take his yoke upon your own shoulders, holding that tension, loving his law, embraced by his grace. Set free to serve, for all things are accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and ministered to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.